Every day, Lion's Choice takes time to serve up a meal like you've never tasted before. They take great care, slow cooking their roast beef in-store for hours at a time. Then they thinly shave and perfectly season that delicious, famous roast beef before finally serving it up. Cooked to order on a steamy toasted bun. Does it really get any better than that? So get to Lion's Choice and get your irresistibly mouth-watering roast beef today.
Did it, Doug?
Well, he did it. I did a Tiger Woods fist pump when Brower scored.
And that makes you feel like part of the club?
I think I am. Oh, I was betting on the Blackhawks during the game.
Yeah. How do you feel now about that bet?
No. I know why I did it. So that way I don't get cut. You know what I don't do? Get caught up in the results.
Well, I don't mind getting caught up in the results. I don't mind. If they lose, I'm able to say, oh, well, doggone it. But that was fun. Okay, what now? I don't get... Maybe it's just impending age. It's not as important as it once was.
Yeah, you told me that when I started at KMOV, and I was 23, and I would get so upset about Cardinal regular season losses, and you'd be like, yeah, there are other things that are more important. And I'm like, man, I don't know when that'll happen. And I'm like, yeah, I really don't care and when that much, unless it impacts the Southside Seaman Fantasy Club.
When you're really young, when you're 10, 12 or so, like just like Kelly Chase's son, crying when the Blackhawks win, it's just magnified even more.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing you got going.
Damn right.
And then as you get older, you got kids going on, you got a car that doesn't work, you got this and you got that.
Key fob problem.
And suddenly a game is like, well, that's fun, okay, what now?
But last night when you get a W like that in a classic game for the climax of a phenomenal series. You know what, Doug?
Go on.
It feels like it was all worth the emotional investment. I'm sure the team, the organization, and the fans feel that way. Welcome to the 9 o'clock hour of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's presented by Tease Farms, the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. They are located online at teasefarms.com. Seventh generation family-owned farm. Unlike the big box stores, they have experts that can show you how to develop your landscaping and garden and still save you monies, also known as money. Grow your own blueberry plants, Doug. This is your move.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I saw a nice blueberry bush out there I wanted to get the other day.
The retail locations in St. Charles, that's right. They have trees, shrubs, plants, produce, gardening tools, and even a cafe for you to grab lunch while you sit down to talk with their experts. It's Tease Farms. Brian Lawton was with us the morning after, no pun intended, game one. And he was a guy who was focused on the process. Yes, the Blues won the game. But he said if Ken Hitchcock and the Blues want to focus on hits, they might have some problems winning another three games. And said they probably are going to have to alter what they did in game one in order to get home and win this series against the Blackhawks, which, of course, they were able to do last night in a thriller at the Scott Trade Center. And it is our pleasure to welcome back to the Appliance Discounter phone lines from the NHL Network, the former NHL player and GM, Brian Lawton. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. There's no crying in St. Louis this morning.
No, sir. There is absolute excitement. The city's so fired up about it. It's not just because they won. It's because the manner with which they won and who they defeated to get to the second round. And all of that gets so many people fired up. Plus, it was just such a damn good series.
Well, it was a damn good Game 7, too.
Yeah.
And that's what people were really hoping for. People like myself are always hoping for that. I just want to see a hard-fought, evenly contested match, and that's what it was.
You think the best team won? Are the Blues really any better than Chicago?
I do think that the best team won. When I looked at this series, the only advantage I really gave the Blackhawks was their mental toughness, their ability to get it done at difficult circumstances, whereas I ranked the Blues a lot weaker in that area. And they climbed that mountain, and I think you could really sense it in listening to David Backes speak last night, just about his respect for Jonathan Toews. David Backes has been a great leader, but David, and I know David, would never really look at himself, I think, properly until they got over this mountain. It was a challenge he accepted, the rest of the team accepted, and they conquered it, and it wasn't easy.
And, Brian, do you think, you know, looking back at the teams from the past and last year, you know, this team, it was a bit different. I wouldn't say wholesale change. You don't have, you know, Barrett Jackman, TJ Oshie gets traded. You have Troy Brower coming in that trade. And some young guys in Colton Parayko and Robbie Fabry that have really stepped up in their rookie seasons. But for the most part, you still have a lot of the same guys and the same head coach. Why do you think it was different this year? Or do you think some of the guys I mentioned were enough to kind of put them over the top?
Well, I think it was a combination of a number of things. First off, Doug Armstrong, I think he made all the right tweaks. It's hard to let a guy like Barrett Jackman go that's been, you know, a real heart and soul guy for your team for a very long time. And yet, when you look at the production that the young guys, Parayko and Edmondson in particular, were able to contribute, it was definitely a difference maker. It's hard to let a TJ Oshie go, a guy that I think Troy Brower would admit is probably a little bit more skilled than him, but at the same time isn't a former Stanley Cup champion and doesn't bring that grit factor that we saw last night as, you know, Troy was consistently pounding on the Blackhawks' key defenseman. And then I think you have to credit Ken Hitchcock. You guys know what I said. I wasn't happy with the comments after game one from Ken. I thought it was a miss on focus for what this Blues team needed to do. And the reason I was so strong about that is because I never felt like the Blues needed to come in and pound the Blackhawks, grind them down to pulp. I felt like they were a better hockey team, and they proved that all year long. I felt like they had depth in all the positions, that Brian Elliott was capable of getting this job done, and I felt if they just played whistle to whistle and had less focus on trying to make physicality the hallmark for the Blues, that they would win. And in the end, I kind of feel that's what happened. I actually feel they were very lucky to win that game one, if you go back and remember the Backus OT goal. So I really credit Ken Hitchcock for readjusting his focus. To me, it looks like that's what happened. If you look at the hits last night, I think the Blues had 34. You know, we heard tales of Ken talking about we should have 70.
Yeah.
I think that just takes away from, you know, the greatness that is the Blues, and that is they're just a great hockey team. And when they just play hockey and focus on hockey and don't get too overrun with trying to be so physical it takes them out of their game plan, then they're a heck of a club, and that's what they were.
And Hitchcock also said that if you're going to beat the defending champions, you have to expect that a lot of the calls are going to go their way. And they may have early in the season, in the series, but it seemed like it was pretty well officiated the rest of the way. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I would not give any edge last night in the Game 7 to Chicago with the officiating. If anything, I would have called it even or slightly in the Blues' favor. So you know, that's just a little bit of rhetoric, coach speak. In my opinion, Ken is very psychological in his approach, just like most of the coaches in the National Hockey League. You know, you're a master manipulator, you're part psychologist. You know, there's a lot of similar qualities you see. The question is, do you have that Midas touch at the end of the day to get everybody to buy in, to hold everybody accountable, and to convince these guys that you can make them better? I think Ken Hitchcock did all those things in this series.
Brian Lawton, our guest right now on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He joins us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, and he is our Maggie O'Brien's Blues guest of the day. Brian, now the Blues turn their attention to the Dallas Stars. And sometimes you see teams springboard off a tough series and use it because they got over the hump, and you could make a case that might be what will happen with the Blues and also the San Jose Sharks that slayed their dragon in the first round. Other times you see teams that grinded so hard in a series, and then it takes effect on them in the second round. How do you think the Blues will match up with the Stars, and taking into account that they're coming off a series in which 91% of the minutes were spent with the game either tied or the two teams separated by one goal?
Yeah, well, if you watch the Dallas-Minnesota series, you know, the thought that kept running through my mind is that whoever I always felt Dallas would win that series. I felt like Minnesota was just outmatched. But whoever plays Dallas, I felt like would really hammer the Dallas Stars. Now, now that the series over, and if it had been the Blackhawks, it's not going to be, but it's the Blues. I still feel that, but the key is going to be respect. I think the St. Louis Blues are going to still have to respect the Dallas Stars, not idolize them. They had a fantastic season. Jamie Benn's been amazing. But the narrative on them was that the goaltending is not strong enough and the D is not strong enough. And if I think the Blues come in with that mentality, they should have a real good series against the Dallas Stars. I do think the Dallas Stars will find a way. Lindy Ruff's an excellent coach. Lindy and Ken, of course, the history from 1999 in the finals. They know each other well. But I think that Lindy will be able to make some adjustments and tighten up their D. I'm not sure what he can do about their goaltending, but maybe they'll have a little bit better luck than they did in the first round because it wasn't very good.
We haven't had anyone on yet that seems to like Dallas' chances in round two, and yet they did something to finish first overall in the Western Conference. What's the dangerous part of Dallas? Just that they might outscore you? Wide open games?
Yeah, I think so. The dangerous part is they can really come at you fast in waves and put up, you know, some big numbers. They're capable of coming in, and even on a fantastic defensive St. Louis Blues team getting strong goaltending right now, they're capable of coming in and putting a five spot up real quick, too. They do it in spurts. So I think that's where the respect comes in. I think that's where the St. Louis Blues have to stick to their game plan. They're going to have to find a way to shut Jamie Benn and Jason Spezza down more than anything. I don't believe we'll see Tyler Seguin in this series. That's a good break for the Blues. That happens. That's just the way it goes in the playoffs. You know, no one should feel sorry for the Dallas Stars. And I think you have to go back and look at the last 15 games for the Dallas Stars and how amazing they played against an incredible schedule.
Yeah.
That's what really shocked me about them. I know what the narrative is. I know everybody said they don't have it to win in the playoffs. But what they did down the last really 10 to 15 games was amazing. If they can recapture that brand of hockey, then this will be another seven-game series.
Yeah, the Blues were hot on their heels there down the stretch, but they were able to hold them off and therefore have home ice advantage. The only way the Blues, if they were to get past the Stars, wouldn't have home ice is if the Ducks were to win Game 7 and then beat the Sharks. We get another Game 7 tomorrow night in Anaheim. How do you see that playing out as Nashville forces Anaheim to a sudden-death game?
Well, you have to really credit the Central Division if you think about what Nashville's been able to do. The Ducks, you know, they came out of that series, they were sleeping a bit. The Preds were able to come in, jump an early 2-0 lead on the road, which is remarkable. The Ducks refound their game. They made a change in goalie. Freddie Anderson's been terrific. He was terrific even in the loss last night, and I'm certain we'll see him in Game 7. The Preds just have to stick to the things that they've done when they've won, and in all three games, I think they've been really physical and yet disciplined. And I think that's important for them. They've gotten much better net front presence in the games they've won. They've really driven to those dirty areas. They've put pucks on net, but they've had bodies there. The games they lost, I felt like it was a lot of perimeter opportunities for them. I felt like they didn't bring very much physicality, and particularly at home, they just couldn't find a way to get their crowd involved until last night's game, of course. So, you know, the Preds will have a real specific game plan. I think it'll focus on exactly that. And then the Ducks will have to bring their A game. If they do that, I still think they'll win. But if they don't absolutely have their A game, then I think the series is wide open for Nashville to seal it.
Brian Lawton, NHL Network analyst with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Our guest on the appliance discounter phone lines are Maggie O'Brien's Blues guest of the day. Brian, we appreciate the time. Look forward to talking again when the Blues and Stars get underway in Texas.
My pleasure, guys. Should be a fascinating series.
Looking forward to it, Brian. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Brian Lawton with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You're listening to CBS Sports 105.7, HD2 FM 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. It's the Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour. They're the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We said, you know, we had a board meeting, an emergency board meeting last week, Doug.
Really?
And I said, hey, you know what? If we can't get a shrub sponsor, I might be shooting down to, I don't know if it'll be Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach Gardens. That might be it.
So you just shut it down?
Yeah, just shut it down.
and just play on Bovada in $10 tournaments.
Well, the good news is we do have a shrubbery sponsor.
Yep, save the show. Tease Farm, save the show.
This would be a great day, a great weekend coming up for you to go and get your hands dirty a little bit.
I don't have to do that. I went to SLU. I went to private school.
Well, someone is going to have to make your
Anna Marie.
Look a little. Okay, Anna Marie is going to have to make your yard look a little bit better. She's going to want some shrubbery, maybe some flowers, maybe there's some grass that needs help. Maybe you'd like to plant some trees. All this she can do on her own.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't expect you to go and buy the stuff. You could possibly serve it as an advisory role, but you're going to get all the answers that you need to make your yard look great from the experts at Tease Farms. They have locations in Maryland Heights, St. Chuck, and North Hanley. The only place I'd go for shrubs is Tease Farm and Greenhouses. Tease Farm has been around since 1885, if you can believe that. I believe they told me it was seven generations of Teases have been running the operation here. They have 20 greenhouses, over 100,000 square feet of growing space. Yes, you heard me right. 100,000 square feet of growing space where they nurture their seedlings for a vibrant
future. I like that,
seedlings. They nurture them. Thinking about growing your own veggies? Stop buying your plants and flowers at the big box stores where the guy helping you might not know anything about it. You want to grow throbbing vegetation. Be like me and the people who take care of Tim's lawn, Anna Marie, and check out Tease Farms and Greenhouses for all your gardening and yard needs.
Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour. We got our Acorns Golf, 7 o'clock hour, and Kelly Chase, Doug McClain with us in the unsponsored 8 o'clock hour. Maybe somebody wants to sponsor the 8 o'clock hour. Get the same kind of play that Tease Farms and Acorns Golf does. It's up to you. We have a sales staff. They're terrific. They're great. Yeah. We have the best sales staff in the world.
Okay. Well, we have a whole hour there available now.
That's right.
For sponsorship.
That's right.
Okay.
Hey, dummies.
Yeah.
Enough of the balloon party. The Cardinals blew a 3-1 lead last night and lost. T-bone. P.S. I saw Kenny Loggins at the zoo, too. Doug was wearing a tuxedo and short pants. You saw Kenny Loggins at the zoo?
Yes, I did. Was it last summer? I think last summer.
What did you say to him?
Well, I didn't say anything. He was giving a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that being brought up now?
I don't know. I guess this fella saw me.
I love Kenny Loggins, though.
What's your favorite Kenny Loggins song?
Kenny Loggins, it was the soundtrack of every great 80s movie. Every great 80s movie, the title track was Kenny Loggins.
I can think of two. Give me a third and I'm in. I get maybe three then. I get Caddyshack, Footloose, Over the Top.
You have a lot of the Top Gun stuff with him. I can look it up. I did this before. There's like eight of them. Let me research this.
Buggy, you fine with him taking a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Why don't we hear John Kelly's call of the Troy Brower goal while Charlie looks up to Kenny Loggins?
I heard him say, he told the story when he was giving his concert, that he wrote like the Pooh Corner. He wrote that once, and he was going to come out with a song.
Is that a scat movie from Germany?
No. It was very early in his career. And apparently he got word from the Disney people that he couldn't sing that song because it would be a copyright violation. And he just happened to be dating a girl whose father was an executive at Disney. And he said, go ahead and release your little song.
Wow.
And so he did it and made millions off of it.
Guess that's the move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Charlie, what's your Troy Brower?
Here we go. Oh, okay. Danger Zone, Top Gun. Footloose, of course. Footloose. I'm All Right, which
Caddyship.
Is Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Playing with the Boys from Top Gun as well. You got your Pooh Corner. Heart to Heart. Wasn't that from a movie, Doug?
That was a television show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
With wonderful Robert Wagner. Wagner.
Yeah. And who was the gal with him?
Nina Hartley.
No, it wasn't Nina Hartley. I can't remember. Can't call it up for you.
So there's about four or five.
All right.
So how about the Blackhawks? How about that whole deal? We're going to bring that back. Thanks, Morehead Brawler. Doug, Brian Adams crushes Loggins in movie soundtracks. Thanks, 618.
Okay. That's nice to know. Something we didn't know prior to the show.
This is
halfway, though.
Big Ed. Over the top.
Hello, Big Ed.
Hello.
Yes, Ed.
Hey, I heard... I couldn't answer the bell Friday morning at work. I saw you Thursday night, and I heard you called me a welder from Festus.
I don't know that I did. Where would I have seen you on Thursday night?
I was leaning over the rail, and you were coming down the elevators and I was going to yell to you about your suit had the Goodwill tag sticking out of the back of it.
Well, this was at the Blues game.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Okay, you yelled at me while I was at the Blues game.
I really didn't yell. I said, "Hi, Doug, how you doing? It's Big Ed. Where's my shirt?" You turned around and said, "What shirt?"
Yeah, that would have been a reasonable question.
I was promised a shirt, and they gave me a small. They wanted to give me a small, and I'm buff like McKernan, right, just a little bit bigger.
Who promised you this shirt?
The last time I called, I was promised a shirt.
Oh.
You promised it.
For what? What did you do to get the shirt?
I just called and asked because I've been a fan of the show forever.
Thank you for your support.
But I didn't appreciate being called a welder from Festus.
Well, you called here and you said, "I would enjoy a shirt. Will you give me a shirt?" And so I was supposed to have that shirt with me at the Blues game?
Yes.
No. They offered me a small, and I've been stewing about this for over a year, and I finally had enough.
Huh. What sort of shirt do you wear when you do your welding?
I'm a respected businessman in Florissant.
Huh.
Not a welder. But it was a little offensive.
There's nothing offensive about
welding. Why do you hate welders?
Spot welding is very important in the construction industry.
I just don't buy that. I think you were making fun of me, and I don't appreciate it.
So what kind of business
anyway,
are you in there, buddy?
I do forgive you because the Blues won last night.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
that. Your rear end sure did look good in that suit, too.
Okay. Woo. Easy. Easy, Ed. Easy, Ed McCall.
All right, boys. I appreciate it.
All right, Ed.
I like that guy.
All righty.
Okay. Thanks, Ed.
He's calling more.
He's a respected businessman. He does his welding in the Florissant region.
But both
of you
guys,
went back to it.
Both of you guys kind of taking shots at both welders and the municipality of Festus.
Sometimes you can look at a person and figure out what they do. It's not that it's not a slap at the occupation.
Somebody posted something on the fan pit. A few people did, where there was a gentleman in Festus yesterday making sandwiches at Subway without a shirt on.
Oh, no.
I heard about that.
Down in Festus proper?
Yeah. Would you still get your sandwich?
I don't think I would. No.
Now again,
things could fall off of his torso.
I always get burnt by those because I don't read the whole article. Like, you know, fake quotes that people love to go on the internet and just make up things. But I read the headline that it was just some random dude that like went behind the counter and had his shirt off and put the gloves on and started slanging subs.
Mm.
Plowhawk, did you guys ever make your fast food topless in the Canton Trenton region?
No, we haven't. Great idea, because it does get a little stuffy in there,
right,
about 7 or 8 hour shifts,
right.
So I like it.
You want your restaurant workers to be topless?
I think you would have to have, you know, your pits cleaned and,
right,
I mean, everything up to par, but I wouldn't mind it at all. I'd get a Sammy right now.
You'd have to shave your nip hair as well, because some of that might dip in.
They're wisps, baby, wisps.
Oh, that blowing in the wind. So, yeah, those would be needing to take care of before I started.
You know, how in the world do we get on these topics?
Well, Big Ed called in.
And he said you had a Goodwill tag still on your suit. You don't take that off?
Well, you're not supposed to, are you?
If it's from Goodwill?
Yeah.
Like the price tag?
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep it on?
Well, that's what I was led to believe.
What's a Goodwill suit cost these days? $20?
Probably so.
Well, you would know.
I would know. I've bought a suit there before.
I wonder if anybody who was in attendance at the Blues game last night or had libations after the game could call in and tell us with vivid detail some stories of the tribbing that they witnessed. Because I would imagine that, like, 14th and Clark was a traffic jam with the scissoring going on.
I wouldn't
at the
think
stoplight.
That was the case. I didn't see any of it.
I was so proud to have Tribbing Trend last night.
How did that happen?
I'm awesome.
I know, but, like, a lot of people would have to retweet it and keep going with it,
well,
right?
Well, the move is you say something about Stan Kroenke,
mm-hmm,
and it's populist rhetoric.
But it still feels good to do it.
Sure. And then you hashtag it, like, Stan Kroenke has to be watching, because, of course, in Malibu, he's sitting watching the Blues playoff game. Stan Kroenke has to watch these 20,000 St. Louis fans cheering in unison for a winning team and a winning owner and have to wonder what he left behind. And then you hashtag it tribbing,
right,
and all of a sudden about 300 people retweet it, and tribbing is trending.
Okay.
And I sit there with an
evil little grin on my face, and I laugh and laugh, and my wife is absolutely disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, I don't know if that's just because of my appearance or because of my glee in the stupidity.
I hate to do another non sequitur, but Greg Warren, who was in studio last week, just tweeted at all of us and said Jennifer Beals was a welder in Flashdance. Nothing wrong with her.
No.
So take that, Doug.
Well, I didn't say there was anything wrong with welders.
All I'm saying is she was
pretty
hot.
Sometimes you can look at someone and tell kind of what they do.
So, like, when you look at me, if you didn't know that I was this great sports anchor,
right,
what would you think I did?
Welder.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So are you not crediting Cuba Gooding Jr. being an underwater welder in the movie Medal of Honor?
Great question.
Yeah.
When I look at Doug, if I didn't know that he was a sports anchor and a radio host, I would think he was a guy who, like, coaches a high school girl softball team.
Really? I'll say there's nothing wrong with
that. Like with old school coaching gear.
Yeah.
High socks, those
shorts are a little too short.
They're bike.
They're baseball pant material.
Mm-hmm.
You have the socks up.
Right.
You have a whistle around your neck.
Sure.
And you just say old school phrases about, like, you say the wrong thing about how to play baseball. Like, get your elbow up.
Right.
Hey, get your elbow up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Don't forget about the baseball bats that are so wore down that are 10 years old that you can't even see the brand, just like an aluminum just stick.
Yeah, like a Worth, like an Easton bomb bat. Like the kind of bat you use in your backyard that has cracks in it.
Tim, I was at the Wheelie afterwards. Is that Wheelhouse, Doug? Is that what you call Wheelhouse?
I suspect it was, Tim.
Tim, I was at the Wheelie afterwards, and there was some broads smooching other broads right there on the patio. It was right on the mouth. Thanks, Sular Dave. I knew it.
And that makes you happy, doesn't it?
God, it does. It really does. I wonder if that'll ever get old. I don't think that'll ever get old for me. That's what I need.
Well,
you're saying two attractive women kissing each other?
Yes.
I mean, okay. Does like an attractive 25-year-old woman, does that ever become unattractive? I would say no.
Okay.
I mean, if you're 80, don't you still think you look at that and say, all right?
Yes.
So I would say the answer is no. It's not going to change.
Yeah, but at the same time, I saw that there was a 90-year-old former senator who just got engaged to his 70-year-old, I think, boyfriend.
40-year-old boyfriend.
Ooh, even hotter. But he had been married for like 50 years to a woman, and she passed away.
Right.
And so at 90, he discovered a gentleman lover, and they're getting married. So I guess it can change. That proves it.
And the dude's 40?
Well, more importantly, the other guy's 90, former
senator. You're 90, can you even do anything down there?
Probably can still bottom.
I would think with the Viagra, there's probably people active a lot longer than they used to be.
I'm guessing some hand-holding, maybe some light petting. But I don't think there's anything else going on at 90. I'm just guessing.
So, like, they're making out, and the 40-year-old guy's caressing the nipples of the 90-year-old.
Okay.
Senator. Well, Charlie said it, and I'm trying to understand what he means, because that's what petting is, bro.
What do you think the oldest, you can't really measure this, but, like, the oldest person ever to have sex? What do you think?
So Marilyn guy. Chambers on Cinemax.
A woman could be a lot older,
I'm
I would think.
A guy.
I don't know. It's probably on the internet right there. Why don't you check it out?
You think Guinness has that?
They should. Because I'm interested about stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. It's
how could you prove it?
I don't know, but I just want to know, like, when does it end? When does it totally stop? How much help
varies,
would you need?
I'm sure it varies person to person, Chuck.
Yeah.
The Blue Series win led to an increase in lesbianism in the Nail last night. Also, Tim, thanks to Kaskaskia River Monster.
It just didn't. Why would it? The two things are totally unrelated.
Not according to the Kaskaskia River Monster.
So now we're led to believe there's some sort of monster in the Kaskaskia River. Do you know where the Kaskaskia River is? I don't have a clue. Who's that guy?
What's so funny now?
Picture?
The text come in too quickly, damn it. Let's see, we got a call. Let's put it on.
Well, you guys were talking about CFNM porn?
What is that
name? That what you guys are talking about?
No.
The clothes female, and then there's the nude male.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Somebody just said something. Darren said something to me when he put me on hold about it.
Plowhawk, is that your thing? CFNM.
Adam, I'll have to completely deny that. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm interested.
Well, you're going to deny it now. We were just talking about it, so. It doesn't matter.
Well, what was the point that you wanted to make?
Well, you guys were just talking about it, and then Darren brought it up.
Okay, but you called to give your own take on this subject, and what would that have been?
I just thought... I just called to say hi.
Adam, can I interrupt with some breaking news here? I found via Google that on record, this is from 2012, the oldest man ever to father a child. This is in India. He was 96 with his 54-year-old wife.
Wow, kind of an upset for her, too.
Yeah, but probably a bigger upset for her than him.
Well, if anybody has any hot takes on CFNM porn, it's 314-880-0808. Text or call that line, even though you won't be able to hear what either Charlie, Tim, or Doug are saying. But you can call in or text that line about CFNM porn.
But don't even know what it is.
I think he hung up. Good call.
96.
54. For the lady.
What do you think the oldest woman to give birth is? I'm gonna
72.
I'll say 58.
72.
I think Tim's closer.
Yes.
No, I have to look it up. I'm just saying. I'm gonna look it up here, Doug. Internet here is not too swift yet.
No. Well, we'll take a time out here while you look up
who
the oldest woman is to have ever given birth.
Don't you have a live read you could do?
Yeah, I probably do, actually. Dodge Moving and Storing has moved us into this facility where the internet doesn't work. The walls are plywood and the phones and mics don't work. They're one of St. Louis's top office moving companies with over 75 years of experience. They make moving convenient and efficient so you can focus on more important tasks you may have. Local, national, and international relocations, Dodge Moving is the official mover of the City Arch River Project. Trust your valuable business assets to an office moving company who has the experience making moves for companies just like yours. You like that right there? Just like
yeah,
yours.
Yeah, nice inflection, Tim. Well done.
Request a quote at dodgemoving.com. They moved us here. They will move us out of here. Yes, moving.
Here.
Oh.
I got it. Apparently, Rajo Devi Lohan, not sure if she's related to Lindsay, but she's from...
Compton?
I think she's also from India. But anyway, yeah, Indian woman who at 70 became the world's oldest known, okay, first-time mother after three rounds of IVF. So 70.
70 was the age?
I don't know if that's the oldest. They said oldest first-time mother, and that was three rounds of IVF.
Hmm. Seems a little unfair to the child, doesn't it?
But that child's a miracle.
Well, it is, but is the child going to have a mother in 10 years? 5 years?
Sometimes people live to be 110.
It's hard enough to raise a kid properly in your 20s, much less 70s. Boy, I don't know how you do it.
A 65-year-old woman gave birth to quadruplets in 2015.
All right.
Like it's clothed female, naked male. I wonder what that's about. I always like to try and figure out the psychology of what gets people going. Like Jennings and his mild fetish.
Oh, well, that fetish is hardly even worth bringing up. It's more of an appreciation.
So I assume if I were to read about that, it has something to do with being what they call a sub, submissive. But I don't know what would turn one on about the clothed female, naked male.
See, that's where I think differently. I think if you don't want to see the female naked, are you really that attracted and aroused by the naked female body?
Especially if there's a gentleman who is.
But like who looks at a woman fully clothed and thinks that's more sexually stimulating than when she has no clothes on? You know what I'm saying, Doug?
Yes, I know what you're saying. I don't have an answer for that, Chuck.
If the art of seduction, what might be underneath those layers?
You think that's what it is? So you're into this plot hook?
No, not at all. I'm just putting my mindset of a guy who would be into it, and I feel like that's probably...
And caller Adam is into it?
See, I don't know what the hell he would talk about. I said, okay, I'll put you on hold, and we never had a conversation about clothed females.
But it's different, too, like if you're talking about sexy lingerie... Versus, like, you know, jeans and a flannel.
It's still the mystery, Chuck.
I
don't know.
Is that a C cup, B cup? What do you got, shrub action?
Okay, Plowsy.
It all depends.
Okay.
Doug, it's the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour. They're the shrub
sponsor. Sure they're very proud to be sponsoring what we're talking about.
Well, right. Bernard Cutlery is. They're the sponsor of the Cuts of the Week. We could already do the cuts of the week right now, the first two shows that we could have been
so
good. Bert Early Cutlery, tell us about it. Especially if you're going to go enjoy this beautiful weather and celebrate a Blues win by going to the Hill today and having a little lunch or a little dinner. You're going to be right by Bert Early Cutlery.
Yeah, you know what's coming up? Is their big April 30th day. That's the day you bring in anything you need sharpened, and I mean anything you need sharpened at all, to Bertarelli Cutlery on April 30th. And that day, all the proceeds from the sharpening will go directly to the Backstoppers, along with a portion of sales in the retail showroom and the Mission Taco food truck will all go to this fine charity. So you're going to need things sharpened anyway. You're going to need knives. You're going to need lawnmower blades. You're going to need scissors, all that. That's the day you go to Bertarelli Cutlery, April 30th, and all the proceeds will go right to the Backstoppers. You can go there any day you want. That'd be fine. That'd be terrific. But just make sure you also go there on April 30th. They have a good retail showroom there with upscale kitchen products. Everything for the upscale kitchen you could possibly want at Bertarelli Cutlery. Fine place down there at the Hill. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Bertarelli Cutlery, April 30th. Circle that date to have things sharpened so the proceeds go to the Backstop.
Bert Early Cutlery, great sponsor on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Guys, if a woman is wearing clothes, I can still imagine she has a penis. Thank you. It's from the hipster of Tower Grove South.
You think that's what it is?
I think there's something like that going on. I really do.
Blues win 3-2.
Yeah. Nice win for our hockey club.
Don't say club.
All right.
How is it a club? It's a team.
Yeah, I know. I'm just as sour about that as you are.
I just don't like it, and people still say it. It's like, we got a good ball club. No, it's not a club.
We got a good ball club. They got a good ball club.
Zach Choke just followed me on
Twitter.
They
got goopy.
Nice. He's a good dude.
I don't know. I've never met him.
No, he's a good dude.
He just now got around to following you on Twitter?
Yeah, what's his problem?
What?
Probably listening. Zach Choke, huge hockey fan, hockey nut.
Is he?
And just had his first child, a son named Zach Jr.
Uh-huh.
And this kid has a full head of jet black hair. He looks like the kid looks like Derek Zoolander. He has Derek Zoolander hair.
Really? All right.
Beautiful.
Really?
Beautiful head of hair, this kid.
Huh.
Makes me jealous.
Going to be a hockey player.
Probably.
I tweeted out from Brian Lawton when he was on with us, if you watched the Dallas-Minnesota series, I couldn't help but think whoever played them would hammer the Dallas Stars. He said that, did he not?
No.
I feel like everybody we've talked to have said that, even before the series.
He is quote-tweeting my tweet and saying this is way one-sided without full context of what I said. It's Twitter, I get it, but Stars had a great season.
Oh, Lawton's saying it was taken out of context.
Right. I don't know.
Dallas did give up four goals
just for the record
in the third period of that last game against Minnesota and almost gave up a fifth tying goal. That's weak defense.
We'll have to check the tape.
You got to be careful with the clothed female, as Doug and I found out. Sometimes there is a tallywhacker hanging out.
Who was that, Tim? I didn't
shade my balls for this. Here.
What was that last sound there? I shaved has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going to the Ragazzi suspension log. Yule.
In the same way, I don't like the word club in describing a professional sports team. I actually love the word tallywhacker. That's a word. Like, when's the last time you heard that word? I don't think I've heard
that
word.
I just read it
in a year, though.
Yeah.
Over a year.
It's a fun little word.
Tallywacker.
Doug, you'll be happy to hear this, as it's been all Blues all the time, with the exception of this CFNM discussion. I've never heard of this. This is a new genre.
Yeah, I've not heard of it either, Tim.
Is it like furries?
Remember yeah, I heard about that. Belladonna kind of got into that right before she retired for the sixth time. And so I'd be like watching one of her movies, and all of a sudden it seems like two mascots are about to have sex.
That may be the weirdest of all of them. Most of them you can at least understand. If you really try hard, well, okay. But that dressing up in a mascot outfit, that I don't understand.
Well, I think it makes you, think that these people are kind of attracted to animals. Wouldn't you draw that conclusion?
I don't know what conclusion to draw from that. I'm totally puzzled by that one.
We got a sex therapist on before game one. We have a few days.
It'd be a big series.
Probably should get to that.
Furries.
I mean, is that not the most bizarre thing ever?
You know what I say? To each their own, baby.
I agree.
But I don't understand it.
I don't judge.
You know,
as long as it's not deviant.
Like golden showers, not my bag. But I guess if you try to psychoanalyze it, it's a submissive / dominant thing. So that must be the what gets the synapses firing. Not my bag, to each their own, doesn't affect me.
The furry thing, I wonder what that is from a psychoanalytic standpoint. I don't have the
answer. Look for me for answers on that one. I don't know. Charlie, I don't have a clue. I just don't have a clue on
like,
that
have
one.
Have you ever like looked at that parrot that the pirates have and go, yeah, yeah.
No, not once. Not once.
Did you ever look at Fredbird?
No. Like, no, we're going to go down the list now. We're going to go down the whole list. The answer is no.
It's not really an animal.
Yes.
Let's say we're talking World Series, Game 6, right. Close game. You kind of got that chilly October, you know, air, the crisp air.
Yeah.
Fredbird walks by.
Ooh.
Cardinals are about ready to win what, their 11th?
12th.
Is it 12th?
Yeah.
11 and 12. What is it now, 12 and 15?
They win 11 and 11.
What was the thing? Was it supposed to be 12 and 12?
Yep.
It
didn't work out, though.
Right. Watch this. Time to work that magic, make it 12 and 12. Now you remember.
That was a great line. Mm-hmm. 12 and 12.
Somebody just sent in a picture of lesbianism at a golf tournament, which just a few like middle-aged dudes are standing by their golf tournaments watching two lasses engage.
Can you do that in golf?
I haven't seen it like in Augusta.
No, I haven't seen it anywhere.
I don't believe anything.
Not even close. Not even a hint.
But you can't believe anything you see or hear on the internet now.
Well, that's true.
Like people, why would you go around just making up quotes to try to trick people? I don't get that. What do you gain from that?
Oh.
And making up stupid pictures. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Make better use of your time.
Okay.
What do we have here? Here's the Plowhawk.
Actually, I was just curious and went back with the Brian Lawton interview and found that part you were talking about. And I'm pretty sure you were correct on the that wasn't a paraphrase. That was an exact quote.
Of course, because if I was incorrect, we would never address it. That's
no,
the best way to handle it.
We just let it slide by.
Right. Let's take a listen.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Whoever, I always felt Dallas would win that series. I felt like Minnesota was just outmatched. But whoever plays Dallas, I felt like would really hammer the Dallas Stars.
Well, okay. Maybe he said something in a little more forceful way than he's comfortable with now that the interview's over.
Caller Adam currently sending cartoon porn to my Facebook instant message.
What happened is the Stars fans have gotten to him on Twitter for sure. They're coming after him.
Probably.
And now he's kind of dialing it back probably.
Yeah.
A bit.
Well, we don't want to get him in trouble.
Well, I just tweet highlights of interviews.
No.
But if I misquoted, I would certainly apologize. Like I did that with Jeff Passan one time, totally accident, about Justin Upton signing a one-year deal. And it got retweeted, and he's like, dude, you're killing me. And I'm like, it was a total accident. You know, I'm hosting a show while I'm doing the thing. You know, I don't think it's going to be harmful. So it would make me feel terrible if I misquoted him. But I was pretty sure because I thought it was such a bold statement. So, I don't know. He's a good guest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make the job more difficult for the Sea Monster to book people.
So what, you accidentally tweeted the wrong thing? Is that what you're saying?
With Passan regarding Justin Upton. So I'm like, man, did I do it again? But it appears that I did not. I don't know. If I did... No. I know this. I will contact Brian Lawton, and via carrier pigeon, I will send an apology.
Yeah.
Send him a nice fruit basket.
I'll do that. Enjoy a good fruit basket.
Yeah.
What do you think about the honeydew? Filler?
I don't mind the honeydew.
It's kind of a filler.
What about muskmelon?
I'm not sure I know what that is.
The musk of a man.
Well, that I don't care for.
The green one?
Is that what that's called, a musk melon?
I thought that's what it's called.
Because I like the green melon. I didn't know it was called a musk melon.
That's what my dad calls it.
I don't know if you're looking to tighten it up, but the key to losing weight and improving health is consistently eating the right foods. Metabolic Meals makes this easy, which is why they come highly recommended by doctors and trainers, Jack. Metabolic Meals has been St. Louis's top diet delivery company for years. And they are shipping meals across the country now. They're perfect for people with blood pressure issues, high cholesterol, diabetes, healthy weight loss. But most people, including myself, use Metabolic Meals, a convenient way to have a healthy meal around the house ready to go. Try them. Call 636-296-MEAL or visit MyMetabolicMeals.com, MyMetabolicMeals.com. And the thing that they're doing now that I love and has increased the percentage of metabolic meals I eat per week is you can pick your meals, and they are all shipped to you on Sunday night. I know a lot of people who are very healthy do meal prep on Saturdays or Sundays, and they have all their meals ready for the week.
Yeah.
Keeps their bodies tight and rewarding. They don't have to cook when they get home, whatever, they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
So now your meals are ready for you for Metabolic Meals. It helps the cause, man. You may want to eat healthy, but then you're like, you get home,
man, it sure sounds good to get like 12 white castles, and then you're kind of fighting it. Well, now metabolic meals.
Yeah. You couldn't eat 12 white castles, could you?
This was just an example.
All right.
It was a hyperbole. Charlie's, I feel like you just discovered something. Would you find some furry stuff?
No, just muskmelon. It's kind of the orange one with the green...
That looks like a cantaloupe.
Rind?
You're looking at a
looks
cantaloupe.
Looks like a lope, baby, a lope.
You've got a picture of a cantaloupe.
I don't know. Muskmelon is definitely a thing, though.
Well, don't show me a picture of a cantaloupe.
I Googled it, and that's what came up from images.
All right. Maybe that's just another name for a cantaloupe.
Maybe muskmelon is like the higher classification of cantaloupe, honeydew, and such.
Oh, well, I don't care for the and such part, but... All right. Okay.
So what else do we got?
Very well. I don't know. It feels like the show is over.
Big win last night, though, Doug. Big series win. So, you know, sometimes you just need to step back and kind of take a minute and think about it.
Well, I was thinking about the Cardinals. I was looking at their box score. And so they lit up Greinke. They had 11 hits and 7 runs off Zach Greinke and still lost badly. What's happened to him?
Yeah, what is going on with him?
How much did the Diamondbacks spend on him? $200 million or more?
He's about a milli per start.
He's been a mess over there. I see the Seamaster retweeted this from the Morning After account. Katie K, you know her from We Are Live, said, for the love of God, stop scheduling all-day conferences at 8 a.m. after Blues games. I hate this place. I'd rather be a stripper.
What place is she at?
I don't know.
And I think so she's considering stripping? I mean, we all have.
All I can do is... You have to?
We all have, haven't we?
Thought about it. Sometimes when the mics don't work.
If you were a really hot guy, though, seriously, let's say you're 22, you're like Magic
Mike. I like that you look at us and say, if you were.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. I'm just saying, if you're like Channing Tatum, apparently this is what he did. He was trying to be an actor and all that, played college football, and then, you know, he's a good-looking dude, has a good body, so he decides to be a stripper. Mm-hmm. If you can make good money doing that, Doug, would you have done that if you were like 23?
No, I wouldn't have.
What if you're at the club, some dude comes up to you and goes, look, man, you got a really good body. Come to my male strip club. It'll be just for women, and you can make $150 an hour.
No, I don't think I'd have done that.
I think you would have.
When I was that age, I was always worried about disappointing my parents, especially my mother. And the thought of doing something where she would have been really mad at me was that kept me from doing things like that.
Yeah, see, I've been doing it now for a little while, ever since I got into radio.
Yeah, you don't care anymore.
So we're past that point.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the market is for me at 39.
Don't sell yourself short there, Long John.
As a stripper. But I'm interested.
This is more of a hypothetical. When you're college age, trying to make some extra money in the summer or the winter, if this was an option for you to make good money as opposed to like whatever else you were doing, bartending or being a waiter.
I deliver pizzas.
Pizzas or mowing lawns. That's my question.
Doug, would you do it again?
You asked me already, and I told you the answer is no. I wouldn't have done it.
I wanted to say yes, though.
Do you want me to ask you? Okay, Chuck, would you have done it?
It depends on how much money you got. Like, let's say you're making $10 an hour as a college kid, doing whatever. Like, I worked at a gym. If somebody said, hey, you could be a male stripper for $50 an hour, I mean, that's tough to turn down.
You would have done that.
When you're 21, 22 years old?
Well, okay.
You'd have a lot more free time. You'd make more money quicker.
Not to mention her hot body that looks hot in a bikini.
You'd be working late nights.
Yeah, but you're staying up late anyway. You're in college. You're partying.
Okay, my answer is still no. I would not have done it. You're saying yes, you would have done it.
I'm not saying I would have.
Saying he's interested
chosen
now.
Chosen to, but I'm saying if you're given the option to make a lot of money.
Okay, I got the premise. I think what we need to do is maybe shop for some clothes for Tim, who's thinking seriously about
I'm
this.
I'm interested in doing it. I mean, the station would probably go away.
We could probably.
So you just got to factor that into your income.
We could probably dress you up as a cowboy or a policeman or something.
That's right.
Bellhop.
Well, I like that. Isn't that for more figure skating, though?
A bellhop? Is that every woman's fantasy, a hot bellhop?
I think so. Let me show you to your room.
Flip that off. Let me do this email of the day, Doug. It's going to be unbelievable.
All right.
$5 gift certificate to Dirty Dogs.
$5 gift certificate. If I dropped $5, I'm not sure I would pick it up. But that's what we're going to give away for the email today.
Well, this could explain why the emails aren't very good.
Howdy. It was reported yesterday that Ken Hitchcock had the team stay at a downtown hotel before the game, but this is only partially true. To avoid distractions, the Blues stayed at a secluded La Quinta Inn in Florissant. They bypassed their meager continental breakfast in favor of a buffet worthy of champions across the street at Del Mar Gardens. To promote team building, key players like Backes and Tarasenko were overheard asking the senior patrons if anyone needed a ride to the ballpark. Hitchcock's a genius. We should hook him up with Frank, and maybe if the Gatesworth has a Motel 6 nearby, we'll have a recipe for success in round two. Doug, that comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
This is titled TMA Game 7 Edition. Yesterday marked the one-year anniversary since my wife made an honest man out of me. For celebration, we watched the boys in blue make history and pegged. No joke, as soon as we found our seats, a gentle young lass in blues gear says, "Are you Cucky the Dwarf?" Then she shifted her gaze to me, "Wife, you must be Mrs. Cucky." Mmm. The blues reigned supreme on a moist and magical Monday night. Strangers, high from adrenaline and A-C-E-T-O-N-E.
Acetone?
Give high fives, hugs, and tribs. As we make our way to the streets to dance so gay, we see pink shirt boob girl from behind the hockey bench. Methinks I need the supple touch of a soft, beautiful woman on my meat orchid. Claws went flying, panties were dropped, butt cheeks clapped to. Let's go, Blues. I'm just glad I wore my galoshes. I'll see you outside the window in the next round, boys. Cucky the Dwarf. Mm. P.S. The midriff is 1-0. Just saying.
Good point.
Cucky the Dwarf.
I like the word galoshes as well.
Yeah, that was a nice. I like meat orchid.
I don't care for it.
Hey, guys. I'm sure you've already pulled the audio from that Kelly Chase interview and submitted it for a Marconi.
Well, he was having a hard time hearing us, is all.
That's sounded all like we began to have a hard time hearing him, though. It kind of like was his way to counter us.
Yeah, he was busy. He was doing something. He's always on the air somewhere, always working.
Just with your acceptance speech now because it's in the bag. Just write your acceptance speech now because it's in the bag. But I got a short story. I asked Doug, how can I be a super fan of yours? Much like a super delegate, I'm sure it's a title only, but I digress. I says to Doug, I like that, that reminds me of my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I says, hey, Meatpole, what can I do to be a big old fan? He told me in a stern tone, paint your chest. You and your stepfather, paint your chest. Not just when the Blues win, but all the time, paint at the top of your chest a big D. And on the tum-tum, paint a V, big DV for Doug Vaughn. Well, we did, and we ponied around downtown showing off our chest work. Unfortunately, it just looked like we had a big D with an arrow to our crotch. Needless to say, we never were more popular than we made our way to the Grove. Thanks, Biscuits with McGravy.
Biscuits with McGravy.
Sup, Blues advancing, Chicago packing, Brower balls, Dallas Brigham, phone lines messy, Cucky overrated, Charlie handsome, Tim tribbing, Doug dripping, horny me, got to get, peace to you, there's Jackman and Twist, get it, got it, flock it, Flocky the Smurf.
Flockster.
Flocky the Smurf.
Guys, Plops here, I was in tears last night after the Blues won. Something magical happened as the curse was lifted. I walked out onto my driveway, I could hear the crowd roaring from my television. I looked up and down the quiet streets, and then to the heavens, as I peeled off my Sansibel khakis to reveal my nude body to Mother Earth. A song just started playing out of thin air. That song, of course, was "Return to Innocence" by Enigma. Is that what the chanting?
Great song. Hi, yeah, is that it?
Doug, is that it?
I don't know.
"Return to Innocence."
It's a chant.
I don't know.
Like, yeah.
I laid down flat on my back in my sundial pose and just started peeing up into the air.
Oh, no.
Is that weird chant at the beginning of the song began to echo off my aluminum siding. I like when people brag. Love, devotion, feeling, emotion. Don't be afraid to be weak. Don't be proud to be strong. Just look into your heart, my friend. That will be the return to yourself, the return to innocence. Oh, I.
No, it's
Doug, do you have a problem with any of this?
Well, most of it, yeah.
That's from Misty Plops.
Sure it is.
Who would have thought that Cucky could have been countered?
Misty Plops.
It's a good email.
It's
Great email, sir.
Boy, some of these are so effing long. I mean, it's... Doug, look at this.
It's a full page. What's he writing about?
It's mad who wears a cape at Six Flags, and I like him, but I can't read it.
Well, it's too long, man.
What about Barnhart Brawler? You want to hear from him?
He's a left-wing lug nut.
Boys, we did it. I knew we would. Deep down under all the doubt, I knew the Blues were capable of pulling it off. They just had to prove it. They finally had what I call want to. This instills a new confidence and hope in me. Maybe now that the Blues have not let me down, my dad will finally show up this year at Happy Joe's, take his place at that skee ball machine we left empty for him every year, and we'll have that slice of pizza, and he'll tell me how much he loves me and why it took him 19 years to go out for a pack of smokes. Do good, avoid evil, Barnhart Brawler.
He's still onto that thing, isn't he?
He's hopeful.
Barnhart Brawler.
And finally, hi, I'm Charlie Marlowe. I've switched roles, and I'll be your nightly news anchor going forward here at the 2 Fox. Happy to be here. A South County man was shot early Tuesday morning near Gravois and Lindbergh. Police officials say the man, Bryce Chandler Hill, was soliciting himself for sex in that hot body that looks hot in a bikini. If the year ended today, St. Louis would finish second in shootings behind the mighty Baltimore. Should be interesting to watch going forward. And now Chris Hayes comes to us live from Spanish Lake with his story of a fun new summer camp for middle schoolers interested in welding. Chris? Half lion, half eagle, the Dogtown Astro Van.
Dogtown Astro
Van. Today, what you got?
I'd have to give it to Misty Plops.
This is tough. I like the Dogtown Astrovan. I liked Flocky the Smurf with his stream of consciousness, but I think it's Plops as well.
Misty Plops has shipped it, and there were some great emails, and that's a nice win. And you get a $5 gift certificate for a hot dog at Dirty Dog.
Who are you going to vote for?
I had Misty Plops and Cucky the Dwarf in my hands, in my pincers. Frank's up next. He does a real show. It's the Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano. Get them soppins and fixins at Lion's Choice. New one opening up there, Doug, like in Glendale, Rock Hill. Do you see that right there?
I saw it being built.
It's a beautiful facility. Mm. Tip of the cap to Lion's Choice. They are expanding as they should. The product is so good. Rhyme. Time for us to shut it down. Four. Peyton. Four. The Plow. Penguin? Four. The Sea Monster. Four. My brother Kevin, for Charlie Marlowe, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, live, Gateway, Buick GMC Studios.